Welcome to the VPR Cafe. I'm Rick Singeri. Whenever you pour 100% Vermont maple syrup on your French toast or pass a maple syrup sold here sign way back on a dirt road, it's fun to think about how that syrup went from 40 gallons of sap to 1 gallon of amber goodness. Here to tell us more about maple sugaring, a popular Vermont tradition and business for some, is Melissa Pasadena. She's a freelance journalist and food editor of Vermont Life magazine. Melissa, great to have you back at the VPR Cafe.
Oh, so sweet to be here, Rick.
Yeah.
See what I did there?
I did. Not everyone has been in a sugar house when it's boiling time. So set the scene of what's happening.
Oh, it is one of my most favorite places to be. In sugaring time, the smells, you know, most of them are on, as you mentioned, sort of off a dirt road or in someone's woods. And it's just steamy and sweet and smoky because almost everyone still uses wood, at least partially, to boil down the sap. And it's just a very convivial feeling. And it feels obviously very deeply Vermont and that you're collecting something delicious from the land.
And can people experience that sugar house feeling?
Yeah, so we've missed the window this year for the Maple Open House in Vermont, but there are resources. So vermontmaple.org has a map, find a sugar house near you, and people should still be boiling the beginning of April. And then there are a couple cool festivals which aren't sugar houses, but in late April, both St. Albans and St. Johnsbury have maple festivals that are fun to go to, and you can taste sugar on snow, which folks must know is the maple syrup hot put on snow or shaved ice. So it sort of, it makes a kind of a maple taffy, and you usually eat it with fresh donuts and dill pickles.
That's right. You visited Putnam Hill Farm in Newbury. They sugar there. What are some of the memories that they shared?
So this is a lovely farm down a very muddy dirt road in maple season, I will say. It's Sarah and Mark Bradford, and their son, Dustin, has come back to join them. And they're a lovely couple. They also have a dairy farm. And Sarah told me just wonderful memories. She grew up in the area on a farm, and she remembers when she was little actually going around with workhorses to collect the sap. They did it the old-fashioned way with buckets, and the snow being so tall that she was like 8 and she couldn't see. And then even further back, she said one of her earliest memories is being in the sugar house with her mother boiling, and she sort of by mistake got in the wrong place behind the draft horse, and she remembers her mother saying, "No, you know, you mustn't be right there. The horse can kick you." But she has wonderful memories just about how much it means to her family. And then she and Mark, when they were first married, they decided they wanted a farm, and they were able to settle on some land that belonged to one of Mark's grandfathers. And they didn't yet have the money to build a house. There was a sugar house on the property that the grandfather had built in the 40s. And they actually lived for 2 years in the storage part of the sugar house, one room. And they still sugar there. Their son, Dustin, who was born right after they moved into their own house that they built, he's now taken over the sugaring operation there.
That's fabulous. Sarah Putnam compares maple syrup to olive oil. In what ways?
So this was really cool. She actually took a class, and it was sort of about agritourism and local agriculture. And she, for that, they compared Italy and Vermont. And so she said she felt like olive oil, you know, with the small estates and farms that grow olive trees and press olive oil in Italy, was similar to how a lot of farms in Vermont, you gather their own sap and boil it down to maple. And that it's a real part of the cultural tradition and part of what brings community together and family.
This is the VPR Cafe. I'm Rick Singeri. With me today is food writer Melissa Pasadena. We're talking about maple sugaring. Melissa, you also spent time at the Wheeler Farm in Wilmington. They do dairy and maple, which can get a little hectic.
Yes. So Karen Wheeler, who married into that family, although she grew up in Massachusetts, also doing maple and dairy, They do maple in Massachusetts. Can you believe them?
No.
So she married into a family that did both. And her husband, Rob, and his family had done it for years. And she says they calve seasonally. So they are really crazy busy at this time of year, dealing with both the arrival of the baby cows and the sugaring, you know, which can go on for hours and hours. Although they, like many farms, maple sugaring operations have started using something called reverse osmosis, which gives you a bit of a jump start, take some of the water out of the sap so that you can spend less time, not that you don't want to spend overnight all the time in the sugar house, but it also helps because Henry, her husband's father, her father-in-law, who's in his early 80s, is still very involved. And at this point, him being there all overnight, you know, might be a bit much. So it's a great way to keep him involved, which Karen just says is obviously a wonderful thing.
Any rules or myths that you learned about sugaring?
So Henry, as I mentioned, farmer for his whole life and still active, he has many great pieces of advice. Actually, one of his favorite pieces of advice he shared with me did not have to do with sugaring. He said, good help always has a jackknife and a pencil, which I just thought was one for the books. But he also mentioned that you should never sugar in the last quarter of the moon, which I believe means, and I'm sure listeners have a better understanding of this, that you don't want to wait too late in the season, because then folks may know the maple starts budding out, and apparently that can definitely impact negatively the flavor of the maple syrup.
That makes some sense. Okay, I love to eat. So recipes, any maple recipes you'd like to share?
So Sarah Putnam has a lot of wonderful family recipes, and she actually gave me a recipe for something I haven't made yet, but I have a jar here of maple tongue pickles. This is actually something I bought. It just has the most wonderful label. We'll put a photo of it up on the website. It was made by a gentleman named Marvin Bailey in Barnet. And I bought this, I want to say, like 12 years ago. Now, I should make a warning. You should never keep pickles 12 years and eat them. At this point, they've become like it's a museum piece for me. But maple tongue pickles are a famous old school Vermont thing. And I do have Sarah's recipe for that. They're made usually with the overgrown cucumbers, so they're a way for farm workers. Maybe farm husbands, to use up, you know, the cucumbers that are grown too big. And then Sarah also gave me a recipe for a maple cracker that is nice, rich, full of butter, and she used to make it for her kids when they were little. So we'll put that up on the web too.
Melissa Passanen is a freelance journalist and the food editor of Vermont Life magazine. Melissa, thanks for joining us again at the VPR Cafe.
Great to be here, Rick.